Best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burles, United States Navy Seabees, retired, and director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And we are just really happy to have you along with us today. We've got some fantastic things that are taking place this next week in our community. Shasta County at the Veterans Museum property at 4659 Ronda Road, just south of Walmart there in Anderson. We are bringing the Wall of Remembrance in, and the wall will be arriving on the 28th through August 1st. We'll have that set up. Along with that, we have Korean War displays. We have 9/11 displays. We have all different types of items that will be there to honor the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and to remember those individuals who gave their lives at 9/11 and in the current global war on terror. You know, we don't hear a lot about it. You hear stuff, they're trying to pull troops and stuff out of Afghanistan and things like that. The men and women serving our nation right now are laying their lives on the line every single day. We cannot forget the sacrifice that these men and women have given to us for our nation, for our country, for us as individuals and the freedoms that we have because they serve vigilant every single day. Like I said, the wall is coming. It'll be here this week. We're also going to remind you that on a Saturday evening, July 31st, we are having our gala event there also. And that will be displaying all of the Battlefield Expressions art therapy project items, all of the different paintings and items that were done during the art project. And so those will all be on display. We'll have a very nice dinner there. It'll be just a really nice opportunity to see what our military families and our military personnel have painted as part of their therapy program and the different concepts and the different ideas. And all of this comes together, once again, to honor our veterans and to help in the healing process. We want to remind you that on Sunday morning, we're going to have a sunrise service at 5:30 a.m. there at the wall. And we'll have that set up so we'll be able to look straight across the highway there, across I-5 to Mount Lassen. And the sun rises right there at Mount Lassen every single morning. And we have such a beautiful view of that entire mountain range. We'll be able to have that. It's a non-denominational service. We want you to come. It'll be about 45 minutes. And to enjoy the cool of the morning as the sun rises and to be thankful for our freedom, to be thankful once again for those who have given their lives and sacrificed for us, and to thank the good Lord for taking care of us and for giving us the blessings that he gives us to us every single day. And then at 10 a.m., we want to remind you that we are having the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Service, and that service is for the 50th commemoration of the Vietnam Wall. And we are, as a museum, a part of the national commemoration of the Vietnam Wall. We're one of the only organizations in all of Northern California that is part of the national commemoration. And this is our opportunity to be able to have a very nice ceremony honoring our Vietnam veterans. We have some great speakers. We're going to have a flyover right at 10 a.m. And with some local pilots in your aircraft, shout out to Joe and the aircraft, the airplanes that are going to be coming in, and thank you to them for being able to make that happen. And we have some individuals coming from Washington, D.C., from the National Commemoration for the Vietnam Wall, and they will be speaking. We'll have some special music that will be going on there. And it'll be just a really wonderful opportunity for us to say thank you to our Vietnam veterans. They never got the right thank you. They've struggled with this for so long. But this is our opportunity as a community to come together. It's our opportunity through the Northern California Veterans Museum to honor these Vietnam veterans for their sacrifice, for the loss, for the ordeal that they've dealt with over these years. It's our way of saying, you know what, a lot of things have happened through the nation and everything else, but we, right here now, thank you. We want you to know that we have not forgotten you. We continue to remember you and to make sure that you know that we care. And it is so important for each of us in our lives to know that somebody cares. And I know I talk to Vietnam veterans all the time, and they still, you know, they still have a little bit of that bitterness that takes place and things like that because of how they were treated. And I don't blame them. You're out there in the jungle, and your buddies are dying all around you. And if you were drafted, you didn't want to be there to begin with. There's nothing like being in the thick of it when the bullets are flying. And you can't leave. You're not going anywhere. You know that you still got another 6 months to a year to be there wherever you're at. And if you make it through today, tomorrow is another day. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow either. And so you're kind of at general quarters 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it just has a toll on you. The battlefield operations, as you're trying to survive through your daily issues that are going on, whether it's your command, whether it's the heat and the humidity from the weather, whatever it may be. When you don't want to be there and you're there anyway and people are dying around you and you're suffering that tragedy of what's going on, obviously if you've never been there, you've never experienced it, it's very difficult for you to relate to it. But as a fellow combat veteran, I understand. I know what it's like to have to put individuals in body bags and to deal with that. And so, you know, life's tough. But for combat veterans and for those who serve, it's even tougher. Because those memories don't go away. They're always there in the back of your head. Different smells, different sounds, different music, different weather changes. They bring those things back to you vividly, very vividly. And sometimes it's as if you're reliving it, and it's been so many years before or since that time frame. And so once again, as we prepare to say thank you to our Vietnam veterans at that memorial service, it'll be right there next to the wall of remembrance. And what an opportunity is it for us to be able to share that wall and to remember those names for the global war on terror. But then again, to step back and say thank you to our Vietnam veterans. When I joined the Navy, all of my instructors were Vietnam veterans. So, and my brother was a Vietnam veteran during, in the Navy during that time frame on the USS Coral Sea. So when my instructors, my teachers, my chiefs were teaching us, a lot of their references and things were back to the Vietnam War. And they talked about where they were, and they talked about their experiences, and they talked about, ambushes, and they talked about things like that. So when I came through with my instruction, I learned from them a lot of the different techniques and the different things when you're out in a combat situation of what to look for and what to be prepared for and what to know. Obviously, they were in a jungle. We were in a large flatland desert out in Iraq. But the enemy is the enemy, and techniques of the enemy are the same. And you have to be aware of many, many different things of taking place that are going on around you, and to take care of your men. Make sure that they're taken care of also with all the situations that are being taken care of. And so my hat is off and I salute my fellow Vietnam veterans who were there to teach me, to help get me the information so that I could make it through two combat tours in Iraq and to bring my men home safe. We didn't have any KIAs or MIAs or anything else, no Purple Hearts on our team, even though we performed 177 missions outside the wire. And that is vigilance. And you have to keep your head on a swivel. And you have to be aware of your surroundings all the time. And it can be very, very tiring, very wearing. But you have to do what you have to do to be able to survive. And so once again, as I think back to the Vietnam veterans who taught me, my instructors, they many times as a young sailor, I can remember being set straight by one of those instructors and brought to the side and say, hey, you need to be aware of this, or you need to shut up about that, or you need to do this or that. And I, at the time it was tough because I didn't completely understand everything that was going on, but now I'm grateful that those individuals stood up, took the time to say, hey, you're doing it wrong, you need to do it this way. Because those ideas, those concepts, they are what saved my life. They were what saved the lives of the men on my team and to our other personnel in that combat situations while we were in Iraq. We have a special guest this morning, Brian Romans. We'll be talking with him as soon as we come back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
And it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his line. Mr. Red, White,
good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're going to get right into our guest this morning. Our guest is Brian Romans, United States Marine Corps, and he is head of the Romans Foundation, which is bringing the Wall of Remembrance across the nation this morning from Indiana. Good morning, Brian. Are you with us?
I am. Good morning. How are you, Rob?
I'm great. Thank you. Where are you located this morning?
We're just outside of North Platte, Nebraska, entering Lincoln County as we speak.
Well, fantastic. You know, our Godspeed with you, and our prayers are with you as you travel across the nation for your traveling mercies with your vehicle and your crew there. And I'm thankful for you to be with us, Brian. I want you to just tell us a little bit about your Marine Corps experience. And then as we talk about that, we'll go through a couple of breaks where we want to talk about how you came to be the new caretaker of the Wall of Remembrance also.
Absolutely, no problem. So my brother actually, my uncle was a Marine, and then my brother joined straight out of high school, and honestly, the thought process was, if he can make it through boot camp, I definitely know I can, you know, cocky younger brother. And so he did. He went through boot camp and made it, and I followed 2 years later, and we actually were competing with one another at one point to see who could get promoted faster, and we were the same rank at one stage in our careers, but I decided that well, I didn't decide. They decided for me that 11 at 15 years of active service, and my brother went on to serve 20. While involved in the Marine Corps, I was fortunate enough to serve along some very brave men, and I think of those men as heroes. Some did not come home alive, but that's part of one of those stories we get to tell. So deployed to Afghanistan in 2004, then two tours to Iraq, and I believe it was 07, 08, and then again in 09, or 06 and 07, then again in 08. All three combat tours, obviously, and
Where were you stationed, 06, 07?
Well, we were 06, 07, we were out of Rawah, Iraq. And then in 08, I was up in Al-Asad as a facilitator to the regiment, sending all kind of supplies, basically managing all the convoy supplies, resupplies, mail runs, recovering any combat casualties or combat injuries coming into Al-Asad from our outside presence, if that makes any sense.
Our team was located there at Fallujah. We ran all of the convoys out of Fallujah for the Marine First Marine Expeditionary Forces into Al-Asad and the Al-Anbar province in 06, 07. So we probably passed each other on the road somewhere through there because I'm sure you were on the road during that time frame also.
We were, well, as a maintainer, the O-313s, as we call them, the Light Armored Vehicle Crewmen, they broke it, we fixed it, we made sure that they were always combat ready. They were always on the road a lot. We were just back in the forward operating base, making sure all their gear was ready to go for the next missions.
Roger that. So tell us a little bit about, you were in the Marine Corps at the time of 9/11. So tell us a little bit about how that experience affected you and how it kind of promoted to where you're at right now with some of the things you're doing with the wall.
Well, 9/11, as you know, for those that remember it and lived through it, it was a traumatic experience on everybody. As a Marine Corps recruiter at the time in South New Jersey, I was on my way to Eastern High School in Northeast New Jersey to talk to a guidance counselor and a student, and I was listening to Howard Stern. And Howard Stern was going on about this plane that had hit a tower, and I thought he was making another one of his radio kind of jokes like he did back in the day with TWA. And I phoned my mom, and I'm like, hey, you need to turn this on. Tell me what's going on CNN. You know, she's the early morning person. So she turns it on, and all I hear is, oh, my God, the phone drops. And, okay, this is serious. A plane hit one of the World Trade Center towers. Well, as I'm walking into the school, you know, at the time, all the schools had Channel 1 going on in the mornings with all the news and everything, trying to get the kids updated, motivated about current events. And the second plane hit the second tower as I walked in the guidance counselor's office. And just the initial reaction from the guidance counselor and the teachers and faculty, you know, they looked at me and they're like, what do we do? And my pagers were going off. My cell phones were going off. We were all getting recalled back to the office because in our minds and in our command's minds, the nation was under attack, as rightfully so it was. And looked at the guidance counselor, said, you need to follow your protocols. I've got to go. And our boss, our NCOIC of the five-man recruiting station, was up in central New Jersey at a command meeting. And he's trying to get a hold of us. Of course, all the cell lines are down. And we get mixed messages essentially telling us, get out of uniform, park the government vehicles, you know, and hunker down in the office. So if you can't imagine the five grown men crowded around a little, you know, 3x3-inch black and white TV. That's all we had in the office at the time. And we're trying to watch news updates of what's going on. And our boss is trying to get a hold of us. He's trying to leave Brunswick, New Jersey, to get down to us. You know, we're an hour and a half south, and it was just chaos. It was pandemonium. And then recruiting following 9/11, as the nation began to the rebirth, if you will, and regrow, and New York began its cleansing and picking up the debris and everything. And it was tough, but at the same time, you saw the surge in patriotism, if you remember. And I remember one kid, he was in law school. He was just about to graduate. He comes in. He says, "I don't care about my degree. I don't want to go officer. I want to go over there and I want to fight for our country." And I looked at him. His name was Steve. I said, "Steve, you're about to become a lawyer." He goes, "No, that doesn't matter. I need to go and fight for my family. I need to fight for our freedom. So I want to go. I want to be O3. I want to be a grunt. Don't give me anything else. Don't offer me anything else. That's what I want. I want to go, and I'm ready to go now." And he went. He went and served. That set a precedence for a lot of us in uniform at the time, especially near and dear to my heart, because I knew when I got off recruiting duty, the Marine Corps was going to be a different Marine Corps. Prior to, it was a garrison Marine Corps, and then afterwards, we were a combat Marine Corps. We were at war.
That's basically how it was for us with the Navy Seabees also. The week of 9/11, I was in my final week preparing to make Chief Petty Officer. And when that took place, we were already there performing duty, going through our Chief Petty Officer initiation and through that program, and instantly went to general quarters. We were carrying firearms, loaded firearms on top of the Navy facility there, pulling guard duty instead of doing some of the things you would do for an initiation. And we became known as the 9/11 Chief Petty Officers. And I still take that to heart because it was so important to be able to serve my country and to be in the process of becoming a Chief Petty Officer at the time when they needed us the most.
Right.
So tell us, when you're talking about the other young men right there when you were doing the recruiting, taking care of that situation, what were some of the other attitudes? I mean, you guys were right there. I mean, New Jersey's just across the bay there from New York. Could you even see the towers falling or any of that at the time?
Did not. The only thing we could see from South Jersey was plumes of smoke, faint plumes of the smoke. Our boss actually saw the heavy plumes. We did not see, thankfully, and I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say that openly, thankfully, we did not personally, factually observe the towers coming down. I think it would be put us all in a different mental state, a different mantra, if you will. But seeing it come down on TV was just enough for anyone.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Some of the mindsets, some of the mindsets where we were at in South Jersey were, it was we bordered Camden, but we also had some ritzy parts, and they were like, my child's not going to the Marine Corps. Even though they had that initial delayed entry program contract, my child's not going to the Marine Corps. My child's not going to war. And all the services battled the same thing, We actually had one grandmother that went and bought her grandson a Porsche just so he wouldn't come and join the military.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, are you that? I mean, I get protecting your family, but that's what he wants to do. He wants to protect his family, too. So it was a mixed emotions all around, and we took it with a grain of salt. We understood. We adapt and overcome, as we always do.
Well, it's interesting to me that parents have such great fear sometimes for their kids that they don't allow their kids to become the adults that the kids want to be through their own choices and situations like that. I'm sure you see that a lot
right.
as a recruiter.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, it was, especially after 9/11, it was a reoccurring thing. I've been chased off stoops with brooms, threatened by dads with guns, other violence, and but that was the time. That was the time that we were in.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, Brian. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Brian Romans, United States Marine Corps. We're going to talk a little bit more about the wall and some of the other things taking place with 9/11 and the 20th anniversary coming up.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
First thing I did when that plane finally landed was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the booze finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, "I don't know what it is, but you seem different to me."
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Brian Romans, United States Marine Corps, and he is the caretaker of the Wall of Remembrance. And he has left Indiana. He and his team are traveling across the United States, bringing the wall here to Shasta County, which will be here on the 28th at sometime during the morning or the afternoon when they get here. And Brian, thank you so much for being on the air with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. My honor.
One of the things I want to talk to you about, coming back from a war, coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and knowing why you're there, not just as a Marine, but knowing there as an individual who chose to serve in the Marine Corps and also chose to fight and serve for his country. Tell us a little bit about your experiences with being there, what took place, and as you were working your way back home.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Afghanistan, when we first got there in 2004, it was, I'm not going to say the Wild West, but our rules of engagement were a lot different than what they have been the past 10 years, if that makes any sense, or 8 years, I should say.
Yes, it does.
Our area of operations was the size of Texas, and it was split between us and a Marine Corps CAT platoon, which was seven to ten vehicles, 7 to 10 Humvees. And we were pretty much told to go and find the Taliban and do what needed to be done and collect intelligence. And we had the deck of cards, and we were looking for those high-value targets. And it was kind of surreal because as we were going through Afghanistan, going through the mountains and actually seeing how beautiful the countryside itself was, everything turned one fateful morning. My platoon has the, I don't even know how to put it into words, to be honest with you, but we have the distinguishing fact that we have the first combat casualty of Operation Enduring Freedom with Corporal Ronald Payne Jr. We sat in one night and we got intelligence to go and observe a high value target. And while the fire team element was on their way to set in position, they were ambushed. And Corporal Ronald Payne is what we know as the gentle giant. He was 6'7". At times we thought he was 10 feet tall. But he stood and took the enemy fire so that every other person on that 41-man platoon would be here today. I give my thanks and my credit for my life, my children, my family to him and the sacrifice that he made in Afghanistan. He saved the lives of the five other men that were with him on that fire team. And what they were doing is the enemy was setting in a position to ambush us as we were making our way through that little valley there. And, it changed the scope of everything. At that point, that was an ugly country. I'm going to sound like a hateful person, but that was an ugly country with ugly people, and we didn't really want to be around any of them. Our guys, we had to continue the mission, and we did exactly what we needed to do. We had a couple other injuries that we suffered on that deployment. But as part of the 22nd MEW, Battalion Landing Team 1-6 under Lieutenant Colonel Kahn, it's something that will never be forgotten, I promise you that. And, you know, you said it in your intro, the sights, the smells, the noises, it's not a startling thing like most people would think, but it instantly takes you back.
It's situational awareness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's not triggers. I'm not going to call it triggers. It's just the sensory organs are instantly taken back to that moment in time.
I know that there's still, and I was medically retired in 2013. My last combat duty was in 2007. And I know that there's many times, especially with the heat of Redding, the heat of Northern California, which takes you back to the heat of the desert for when we were serving with all of our gear and everything else, that there's times when the cockles will come up on the back of my neck and it's just like, okay, there's something going on around me, or it's just something that has been triggered to me, like you say. Well, I would call some of it, to me, is sometimes it's triggering because it's instantaneous.
Right.
And it's the kicker of the adrenaline your body gives you is what takes you to that moment. And there's times when I'm still, it's like I have to stop and gather myself in my surroundings. I know I'm not in a situation, but I know I'm aware of a situation, whether it's at home or abroad. And I still have those situations here. It's been 13 years, and I still have those situations sometimes on a daily basis.
Yep, it's one of those things where my kids will ask, "Hey, are you okay?" You know, and emotionally, as a man, as a grown man, that pulls at your heart for your kids to be so aware, because they've seen it as they've grown up. They're aware and they're keen to it. You know, hey, we can't necessarily go around this because we got to make sure Dad's okay. Or hey, we're going to go here, but we got to make sure that Dad's good. You know, and I love that. I love that about them. You know, one thing, you know, with going to combat, when I came off recruiting duty, I volunteered immediately for the first deployment, and that was the Afghanistan deployment with the 22nd deal. And it was surreal because, you know, you would figure that someone who's never been in combat would be afraid. I truly was not afraid. And the reason why I was not afraid is because the men that I deployed with, the majority of them had already gone through the 2003 invasion of Iraq. And they got back and they immediately volunteered to go on this deployment to Afghanistan. So I already knew in my heart of hearts I was in good hands. There was nothing to fear because these guys have already seen, you know, things that I can only imagine. And then seeing how grown up these young individuals were at that time, and then when Corporal Payne got killed, it was the instant maturity and emotional toll was physically visible in that immediate 24, 48-hour time period. There truly is no visual descriptive words I could give you for your listeners to be able to get that unless they've experienced it themselves or watched somebody come back from war a different person. That thousand-yard stare, the lack of interest, the hypervigilant state, it was immediate. You know, and then fast forward to Iraq. When we were in stationed out of Rawa, Iraq, we set up a little mini file out there with the Iraqi Army, training them, doing mixed patrols with them. You know, Rawa, Ana, the Shark's Fin over by Haditha Dam, you know, all those TQ, AQ. We took casualties in that deployment as well. And I actually, and I'm sure you felt this at one point too, but I actually said I actually disliked the Marine Corps at that moment. One of those young kids that we lost in Iraq, I call him my Marine Corps son. I raised him up through the ranks until he got assigned to another company. And when we learned about his death, as part of battalion maintenance at the time, the vehicle came back in, and as the quality control chief, I took it as my responsibility to go through the vehicle, make sure there was no more personal effects after a blast, a blast damage assessment, BDA is what we call it.
Right.
And we put the vehicle in maintenance tent. I wouldn't let anybody near it. I wanted to go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and it took me a good 6 hours to comb through that vehicle because it was so emotionally tolling, the things that I found in that vehicle from my guy. And, I sat and I talked with one of my confidants, a fellow staff and sales at the time, and I'm like, I don't really think I want to do this. Had my emotional breakdown, my emotional cleansing. We looked at each other and we were both like, yeah, this is a crap hole country. We're here to do a job. Let's get the job done. Let's compartmentalize this, put it in the back of our heads. We both feel the same way, and let's make sure the rest of our guys get home, the ones that we can prevent something happening. And that's what we did. My third deployment over there, I guess you could say it was a blessing from the colonel to be his remain behind element at Al Asad to make sure all the gear got sent to the four different task forces we had out spread out throughout the country. But at the same time, I missed my guys. You know what I'm saying? And it was one of those things where they're like, oh, you're at Camp Comfort, you're going to get plenty of sleep. Rob, I think I slept 2 hours a night, maybe three, to make sure that everything was where it needed to be for those guys, whether it be a helicopter sending out supplies, a convoy coming in, a convoy going out, receiving a combat wounded, receiving a combat casualty, just to make sure everything, all the process was right. I think that third deployment was my most taxing deployment outside of Afghanistan, just because I wanted to make sure everything, all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed.
That's because you knew what the danger was, and you knew what it took to meet that danger face-to-face. And those were some of the items that you had to take care of to settle your own mind to make sure that your men were taken care of. I know that we ran three convoys up to Haditha Dam and to a place called Cop Bastard. And it was just, we had gone in there, pushed up berms through concertina, put up a couple of four-hole burnouts, and there they were with their sandbags, and we brought in all of their food and supplies and toilet paper, MREs and water and everything else. And that's how they survived. That's what we did, was we took care of Marines while we were there as Seabees. And so, It was my honor to be able to be there and be in that critical part of the war, to be able to make sure that we all survived and we were all able to accomplish the task that we were set to do. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Brian Romans, United States Marine Corps. We'll be right back.
Your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Brian Romans, United States Marine Corps. And I had the honor to serve at the same time in Iraq as he did. We didn't serve together, obviously, but we served in Iraq at the same time, which means we experienced a lot of the enemy action, a lot of the same weather, a lot of the same issues where there were many that were under attack. It didn't matter where you were at. You felt the reverberation of everything that took place, and it didn't matter if it was in Baghdad or Ramadi or Al-Assad or Rawa. We were connected through the blood of serving together, especially since I served with the Marine Corps, and Brian, you were a Marine. And the experience is the same. I mean, the combat outposts, which we call COPs, the forward observing areas, all those different things, the vehicles, the smells, the sights, the sounds, UH-46s and the Cobras coming in and coming out all the time. I mean, everything was exactly the same.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And just for the record, Rob, you know, we Marines always say the Seabees are the Navy's version of a Marine.
Well, I earned my fleet, my FMF, and while I was in Iraq, and so I count myself as a true brother. When I came home, my son joined the Marine Corps, and he served with the 1-7 out of Fallujah, Iraq, a year and a half later than I did. And he was with the Combat Arms team there and saw combat action in 2010, latter part of 9 and 10. And so my son and I literally walked the same streets out of Fallujah a year and a half apart from each other, from a CB to a Marine. And so we have a really great bond as a father and son team that way. And he can talk about things, and I know exactly where he was, and I can talk about things, and he knew exactly where I was. And so that's a real critical aspect there.
Well, that's actually one of the bonds that my brother and I have. So my brother, you know, I spoke about him. We actually deployed to Afghanistan on the same Marine Expeditionary Unit. So we were both in Afghanistan at the same time. And when our platoon got hit, the only thing that they knew, he was on the air side, I was on the ground side. The only thing that he got word of is with a staff sergeant with the platoon from LAR, Light Armored Reconnaissance. Well, there was two staff and COs with our platoon, myself as the maintenance guy and the platoon sergeant. You know, so imagine those emotions, my brother getting that word and not knowing if it was me or this other guy, and it stirred up a whole pot. And when I finally got the opportunity, things settled down, I had to go back down to Kandahar for some parts and whatnot. I made a beeline straight for his tent to make sure that he saw me, I saw him, and it was such an emotional pull for both of us. I think that was the longest hug I've ever given my grown adult brother since we were kids, honestly.
Right. You had even a greater brotherhood, not just a Marine Corps. You had a true brotherhood with your brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was really unique, you know, and then so we've got this wall that we're bringing to you all there in Reading. First and foremost, let me back up one step further. So the Romans Warrior Foundation, it all started by accident, Rob. I used to be an avid fan of riding a motorcycle, and I didn't hunt at all. You know, I don't hunt deer or anything like that, or I have not yet. So one morning I'm driving to work, and I've got my motorcycle in the bed of my truck, and the gate guy's like, "Hey, isn't that the wrong place? Shouldn't you be riding it?" I kind of laughed with him, and I'm like, "Man, I don't have an endorsement." He says, "We don't care about that. We just check for your CAD card when you come on base." Well, that's the wrong thing to tell a Marine, right? So the very next morning, I ride the bike to work, and I'm thinking, "Man, this is great. I get through the gate just fine." And then I'm coming to the railroad track by housing there on the naval base down here in Indiana, and lo and behold, a 10-point, 250-pound buck knocks me off my Harley at 55 miles an hour.
Wow.
I flew through the air 60 feet. My motorcycle went 70 feet past me. It killed the deer, killed the bike. They flew me down to Louisville Trauma. And after an hour and a half of all the tests you can possibly imagine, I was released with no internal injuries, no broken bones, just some road rash and a scar on my left wrist. So I'm sitting in the emergency room lobby waiting for my then wife to come and pick me up. And I looked up and I remember saying, closed my eyes and I said a prayer. I said, "All right, God, my life is in your hands. Literally, you saved my life. Everybody said it was a fatal accident. And here I am. Do with me what you please." January, I made a lot of life changes. December, January, I decided to pursue happiness for myself, which is with my love of my life that I have now, my new wife. I divorced, and then we started the foundation, the Romans Warrior Foundation, in January of 2016. Our first year, we were able to save 73 veteran lives by direct contact from suicide, answering phones, emails, text messages, Facebook messages, sometimes showing up on the doorsteps of Marines and soldiers. And it became very apparent to me that is what the calling was. That is what the Lord had spoken and said, "Hey, this is what you need to do." Then our first year, I do these crazy things in southern Indiana. Every June, I do 120-mile walks to raise awareness for PTSD. And our first year, we had one of that Marine I spoke of in Iraq, Benjamin Rosales. His mother decided to surprise me, fly in and join me on this walk. That meant the world to me. It truly did. I really had no words for that. So the next year, we thought, okay, you cannot, there's no way you can top having her come out and walk with you on this walk. And, you know, Marines were cocky, and I'm like, bet. So I heard about JR and the Wall of Remembrance through another friend of mine named Stephen Cochran, one of my Marines that served with me in Afghanistan. And he's like, yeah, man, you got to meet this guy. They got this wall. It's our wall, man. I'm like, what do you mean our wall? He goes, bro, we have a wall. And it sent chills down my spine to hear that. We have a wall. I said, okay. I read about it. I looked it up. I called JR. I'm like, what do I got to do to get this thing out here? So we brought it to Indiana. I think it was our second year walking. And we ended the walk at the wall. And JR and I had talked, but it was different coming to the wall to set the wall up. We had Medal of Honor recipient Sammy Davis, who served in Vietnam. Forrest Gump's character was molded after some of the facts from Sammy Davis's citation for his Medal of Honor. He lives right here in Freedom, Indiana. Go figure. Freedom, Sammy Davis Jr. Or Sammy Davis, rather. And so he was there. We got this wall, and we're talking, and JR's like, hey, you need to come in here and carry this panel. I'm like, what do you mean I need to carry this panel? Well, it was not only Corporal Ron Payne's panel, but then he asked me to help carry Benjamin Rosales' panel. And you could not set a bigger hook in a fish's mouth than what that did to me right there, to my heart, emotionally, spiritually, totally encompassing. And I said, JR, I want to do this. He goes, he kind of laughed at it a little bit. Well, then about a year later, we're having a conversation. He's like, hey, how would you feel about taking the wall on? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you've got more Marines on that wall. And I said, JR, I've got over 26 names on that wall that I served with from my battalion alone at 2nd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion out of Camden. He goes, that's why you need to be the one to take the wall. You have a personal tie to it. You serve. I'm just a patriotic American that wants to do something and make sure people don't forget. So we reached an agreement, and we put the wall on.
Brian, we've got a minute here.
And, yep, and you know, it's every time we set it up, the same emotions flood back, just like what we talked about with the sensory, you know, the senses and all that stuff. So I'll speak more about that here in a few minutes, Rob.
Well, we're getting ready to, we've got about a minute left, and we're getting ready to, we'll sign off for today, and we're going to see if we can't have you back on next week at the wall. I've got to talk to Carl and see if we can do a live remote there at the wall on Saturday morning. And,
okay.
And, because we want to talk to some people's emotions about who have visited the wall and why it's so critical, what it means, why it's so important to what we're doing. Because if we don't voice our opinion, Brian, silence is consent. And we, as
right.
combat veterans, do not consent, and we're not going to be silent. And this is our way of getting that information out there of why freedom and the love of life and the sacrifice of our brothers and sisters is so important.
Well, your listeners need to bring their kids because there's a timeline that explains why the wall is so important on the opposite side of all of the names that are on the wall. My kids know exactly what panels my guys are on. It is important so that they understand the sacrifices that give them the freedom to sit on the couch and play their video games.
Thank you, Brian. Be safe coming across the country. We'll keep you in our prayers, and we look forward to seeing you on the 28th. That's next week. Semper Fi, brother.
Rob. God bless you.
Thank you.
Rob.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.